Thank you, councillors, executive and members of the gallery. Please remain standing while I read the opening prayer and reconciliation statement. Almighty God, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing upon this council, direct and prosper its deliberations to the advancement of thy glory and the welfare of the people whom we serve. Amen.
Amen.
Reconciliation statement. Melton City Council acknowledges that the land it now occupies has a history that began with the Indigenous occupants, the Kulin Nation. Council pays its respects to the Kulin Nation people and their elders and descendants, past and present. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. You may be seated. Before we continue, I'd just like to advise all members of the public present in the gallery that proceedings tonight are governed in accordance with the Melton City Council Meeting Procedure Local Law of 2013. This is the first meeting in which this particular version of the local law will apply, but with few exceptions. It is not significantly different to any previous version. Nonetheless, I do call your attention particularly to Clause 9.4, which provides that A, visitors must not interject or take part in the debate, and B, silence must be maintained by members of the public in the gallery at all times. For those who intended to video or audio record proceedings, please be aware that Clause 12.1E prohibits members of the public from operating recording equipment without the prior written consent of council. Additionally, and while I sincerely hope... Sir, you are out of order. This is your first warning. Nonetheless, I do call your attention particularly to Clause 9.5, that A, visitors must not interject or take part in the debate, and B, silence must be maintained by members of the public in the gallery at all times. Additionally, and while I sincerely hope it will not be necessary, Clause 9.5 allows me as the Chair to eject disorderly visitors should they refuse to come to order once called. Similarly, Clause 13.1 details any offences and penalties that may apply under this local law. The meeting procedures have been made available at the front here should you require a copy. Thank you very much for your cooperation in running an orderly meeting in which members of our community feel safe, welcome and able to exercise their right to participate in this important civic function. Councillors, at this point in time, I would like to... make a personal explanation under Section 8.6. Council and I have been advised by the Local Government Investigations and Compliance Inspectorate that no further action will be taken in relation to a complaint lodged with the Inspectorate on November 27, 2012. The complaint alleged that an offer was made by me of funding up to $100,000 in the council budget towards better animal management policies in return for the second preferences of Cambridge Ward candidate Nathan Miles and the third preferences of Bianca Stewart. First of all, this is technically not possible as any decision of council, including budget items, requires that a majority of councillors must decide on any particular budget item. One single councillor does not have the authority under the Act to make any decision alone regarding budget items or any other matter in council on their own. Not even the mayor. The inspectorate conducted a thorough investigation of the allegation, including interviewing relevant parties and reviewing documentary evidence and information, and the inspectorate has concluded that no further action in relation to this matter will be taken. I welcome the news that the baseless allegations made against me have proven to be exactly that. I have never conducted myself in an inappropriate or illegal manner when campaigning for election to the Melton City Council. I am disappointed by what appears to be a deliberate and cowardly attempt to smear my reputation and character, both in the accusation itself and the subsequent anonymous representation to the media, to pursue what I believe to be a personally and politically motivated vendetta. I believe that this incident came about because I chose to use my democratic right to change my preferences in the course of the election campaign. And out of decency on my behalf, I informed the fellow candidate that I was doing so. I am disappointed that certain sections of the media saw fit to publish what amounted to scurrilous rumours and innuendo by an anonymous source. I believe it was irresponsible and also very unprofessional on the media's behalf, and it resulted to be extremely damaging to myself personally, my family, and this council. I believe that these continual attacks on me are as a result of being a dedicated, hard-working, and a truly independent mayor. As a result, councillors, I would like to reaffirm to you that I will not back down, I will not be bullied or intimidated by those faceless people playing dirty politics who think that they will wear me down in what we know is the truly underlying issue here, councillors. Now that this matter has been definitely and absolutely resolved in my favour and that the truth has prevailed, as I always maintained that it would, I will continue working hard to serve this great city of Melton, its people and you, my fellow councillors, to work together as a team to achieve the best outcome for this municipality. I would like to thank my fellow councillors who did support me during these times, the council staff and many community members for their unwavering support, my husband Andrew and my family and my true friends. Your commitment to me as the mayor of this great city in the face of these unfounded allegations was invaluable. Thank you. Moving on to agenda number 2, apologies and leave of absence. Mr. Tory.
Madam Mayor, we have a late apology from Councillor Sophie Ramsey, who will, however, be in attendance later in the meeting. We've also received a written request from Councillor Carley that on medical advice it is necessary for her to seek a formal leave of absence from council. Period for that leave of absence that is sought is from 26th of August until the 28th of October 2013. It would therefore be appropriate for council at this item of business to note and approve the leave requested by Councillor Carley for the requested period.
Mr. Tory, do we move that as a motion?
Yes, Councillor.
You
require a councillor to move that.
Do I have a councillor to move that the leave be granted to Councillor Carley?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move that that be so.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have a seconder?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Item number 3, changes to the order of business.
Nil, Madam Mayor.
Number 4, deputations.
Nil, Madam Mayor.
Number 5, declaration of any pecuniary interest, other interest or conflict of interest of any councillor.
Madam Mayor, I declare a conflict of interest in item 9.1 of the agenda and in accordance with section 79.3 of the Local Government Act 1989, I had advised the Chief Executive Officer in writing of this interest prior to the commencement of the meeting.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Anyone else, councillors? Number 6, adoption and confirmation of minutes of previous meeting, and we have a recommendation that the minutes of the ordinary meeting of council held on 23rd of July 2013 be confirmed as a true and correct record. Do I have a councillor to move this motion?
Madam Mayor, I'll move that motion.
Do I have a do I have a councillor to second the motion?
I'll second it, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Item number 7, correspondence inward. 7.1 parliamentarian and departmental letters received by the Mayor. I've actually received one from Mr. Ian Dobbs, Chief Executive Public Transport Victoria, Melton Rail Duplication. And he states in his letter, as you are aware, duplication of the Melton line has been included in Stage 2 of our network development plan. I note Council's desire for early implementation of the project. This will need to be considered by the Victorian Government amongst other competing priorities for funding. I also note that duplication of the line will require additional stabling near Melton Railway Station to support the upgrade. Yours sincerely, Ian Dobbs, Public Transport Victoria Chief Executive. So I have a recommendation here that the parliamentarian and departmental letters received by the Mayor be received and noted. Do I have a councillor to move the motion?
I'll move that letters be received.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have a councillor who would like to second the motion?
I'll second it, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Item number 8, petitions and joint letters. Mr. Tory?
We have nil, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Item number 9, resumption of debate or other business carried over from a previous meeting. 9.1, delegations of authority exercised 1st of January 2013 to 31st of July 2013. Let the record show that Councillor Cagliari is removing herself from the chamber. And presented by Mr. Ian Stewart, Acting General Manager for Corporate Services. Thank you, Mr. Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Put this before Councillor and that report be received.
Thank you. Do I have any Councillor who requires any further questions or clarifications in regards to this matter? Do I have a Councillor to move the motion?
I'd like to move the motion as put.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have a Councillor to second the motion?
I'll second it. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Do I have a Councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. If we could ask Councillor Cagliari back into the chamber, please. Councillors, item number 9.2, Annual Accelerated Sealing Program, and our presenter is Mr.
Luke Shannon.
General Manager, Planning and Development. Thank you, Mr. Shannon.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This report relates to the Accelerated Road Sealing Program, which Council has funded to the tune of $1 million in the current financial year. Council will recall that in the previous financial year, $1 million was allocated towards this program, which has subsequently been utilised for sealing around about 6.3 kilometres of gravel road within the Exford area, and those works were completed recently. Madam Mayor, the Accelerated Road Program is designed specifically for low-volume gravel roads, which generally carry traffic of less than 200 vehicles per day or thereabouts. The works involve placing a lightweight seal over existing gravel surfaces so as to result in an improved surface, with a view to minimising maintenance costs and providing improved amenity for users and also for adjacent residents. Council should note that this type of treatment is generally not suitable for roads that carry volumes in excess of 200 vehicles per day. Council should also be mindful that the treatment should not be applied to roads where expected significant increases in volume will result either from that treatment or from predicted future urban development. Council has other road sealing programs in place. For example, $1.7 million has been allocated by Council in this financial year for the full construction to a rural standard of Harkness Road on the western flank of the Melton Township between High Street and the Arnolds Creek Estate. Additionally, Madam Mayor, significant roadworks are and will continue to occur within the designated growth areas, and these will generally be constructed by developers as part of new developments as they occur. And, for example, recently, over the last 18 months, Ferris Road and Bridge Road have been fully constructed by developers. Madam Mayor, if I could refer councillors to the plan at Appendix number 1 on page 60, you'll see highlighted in green those roads that are recommended by officers as being suitable for sealing under the accelerated sealing program that I've just described. There's approximately 50 kilometres of road that would be suitable under the criteria that I've mentioned. Furthermore, those roads that are shown in red on the plan are not considered from an officer point of view to be suitable for sealing under the program due to either their current or likely traffic volumes that would be evident on those roads. Madam Mayor, it's recommended that Council endorse the road shown in green to form part of the future accelerated road program. These clearly won't be able to be sealed within 1 year, given the cost of the works involved. However, it will allow for Council to undertake a planned program to address those roads in the forthcoming years. And finally, it's intended to tender the works within the $1 million budget allocated this year, And that would be advertised later this year, and a further report would be presented to Council for consideration once tender submissions have been evaluated. Madam Mayor, if I can refer councillors to the recommendation on page 58. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Are there any questions, councillors? I do have a couple of questions. In regards to Tarleton's Road and why it's not being included in this particular instance, why is that?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. There's a number of reasons. Currently, the traffic volumes on Tarleton's Road are in the order of 230 vehicles per day, and that has increased, albeit relatively modestly, over the last number of years. Importantly, Madam Mayor, it's important to note that Tarleton's Road precinct is within the designated growth area that will ultimately see urban development occur along the length of Tarleton's Road. Madam Mayor, councillors will be aware that the Growth Areas Authority is currently preparing a precinct structure plan for what's called the Plumpton Growth Area, and that does include a small section at the eastern end of Tarleton's Road. The proposition in terms of the future construction of Tarleton's Road is that developers of within the Plumpton area should fund the construction of Tarleton's Road to a rural standard, that is 6.2 metres wide with no curb and channel, as part of development within the Plumpton area. Then in the future, when the PSP occurs over the substantive section of Tarleton's Road, the road would be further upgraded by developers within that area to a full urban standard, that is with curb and channel, underground drainage and footpaths.
Mr. Shannon, do we know what time frame that might be?
Madam Mayor, the precinct structure plan for Plumpton is scheduled to be completed late 2014, based on advice from the Growth Areas Authority. So Council will know with absolute certainty at that point whether the development contribution plan with that precinct structure plan includes Tarleton's Road to be constructed to a full rural standard. The precinct structure plan, which is known as Warrensbrook, which is covering the substantive portion of Tarleton's Road, that's not on the immediate horizon.
So potentially we could find out 2014 whether it's included or not. What happens if it's not included and we wait till 2014?
Madam Mayor, from an officer point of view, that council will be in a strong position at that time to either understand whether the construction of Tarleton's Road is included within the Plumpton PSP to be paid for by developers within the Plumpton growth area. If it's not, council can then make an informed decision about what other program it might like to use if it still wishes to have Tarleton's Road built in the immediate future.
So technically speaking, even if it is in the PSP in 2014, it still will be competing with other priorities within the budget?
Madam Mayor, that is correct. However, ultimately Council has the ultimate decision about what the priorities are for infrastructure within the Plumpton PSP, and Tarleton's Road would obviously be a consideration, but at the end of the day that would require Council's resolution to do so.
I've actually received a question that I'm going to ask on behalf of my resident on Tarleton's Road, and I'd like to ask it on his behalf. Sections of Tarleton's Road has been sealed for 17 years with no maintenance required. Why has the remainder remained unsealed for such a long time, costing the ratepayers money to grade and top up on a regular basis?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. It's quite true that a significant portion portion of Tarleton's Road is currently sealed. Just in summary, the road length is about 3.2 kilometres, of which 2.1 kilometres is a gravel surface and has been for many, many years. The original seal over two lengths of road was put in place by the subdivider of that land many years ago. Council has maintained both the sealed section and the gravel section since that time. Whilst the sealed section has performed relatively well, there has been some patching on the road, albeit relatively minor during that time. And Council has obviously borne the cost of maintaining the gravel section during that intervening period as well. My understanding, Madam Mayor, is Council, in weighing up all its priorities for capital works, has determined that the cost of, to date anyway, the cost of sealing Tarleton's Road was such that it didn't warrant sealing, and it was actually, in fact, more efficient to maintain the gravel surface, particularly in light of the fact that we have still around about 150 kilometres of gravel road within the city.
Okay. Councillors, any other questions or queries? Councillor Borg.
Thank you. Mr Shannon, given that before you said that the aim of the accelerated road program was to minimise the maintenance cost of these roads, if, for instance, given that the Mayor's raised it, if Tarleton's Road was to be included, which is already in excess of the recommended amount for this particular program, would that minimise the maintenance costs, or would that actually increase it or cause further problems
through
this particular program?
Yeah, through you, Madam Mayor, the very initial outcome would be that the maintenance costs would be reduced in the immediate term. The outcome would be, on Tarleton's Road, traffic volumes would increase significantly from the 230 vehicles per day currently. Traffic speeds would increase significantly. And the road volumes, based on our experience with other lightweight treatments, would mean that the road would actually start to fall apart quite quickly. So, you know, in the first weeks and months, the maintenance costs would be certainly minimised. However, my concern from an officer point of view is that the road would quickly deteriorate to the point the council would actually have a significant situation on its hands and may well find itself having to go back to reconstruct it to a far more significant standard.
Sorry, although in saying that, sorry, Councillor Borg, before you do, it does mention in this report that Troops Road South has a volume order of 250 vehicles per day and to date has withstood traffic volumes to the amount of 250. Is that correct?
Through you, Madam Mayor, it's correct that at the northern section of Troops Road South, immediately adjacent to Greggs Road, Council trialled around about 9 months ago a recycled asphalt treatment, which basically utilised asphalt taken from other road rehabilitation programs. It's still relatively early to know how that will perform in melting conditions. We have had to do significant patching out there over recent weeks. And I think Council probably needs to allow that treatment to be in place for a couple of years to fully understand whether it's a viable option in the future.
Councillor Ball.
So, given that you've said that it probably wouldn't withstand with the increase in traffic measures, would Council be in a better position at the end of 2014, given that the PSP development of Plumpton's going through, which will add to the increase of traffic on that road? Given that, would it be better to wait to see the outcome of that to know whether one community's money would have been misplaced or misused in that without having the full scenario at hand, or whether developers would actually fund that, which would save the community their money? Or three, then, if this road is included in this program and then starts to fall away, then we have a whole other set of issues with safety and increased maintenance costs. So basically my question is, with all those issues there, is it more prudent to see where we're at the end of 2014, or would councillors, given that the Mayor's raised of Troops Road, given that it's a similar situation, that it would most likely be maintained for a couple of years?
Yeah. Through Madam Mayor, based on the cost of the Exford Road works that I spoke about earlier, the likely cost of utilising accelerated seal program on Tarleton's Road would be in the order of $300,000, give or take. That's a fairly significant outlay, particularly in terms of the fact that by the end of next year, so some 16 months away, we will know with pretty much absolute certainty whether the developers in the Plumpton PSP will fund the construction of this road. So I guess the question is, does Council wish to commit to an expenditure of around about $300,000 now, or is the Council prepared to wait 16 months and then make perhaps a more informed decision?
Although, Mr Shannon, even the question is, if we do wait the 16 months, it's still not guaranteed compared to the other competing needs within the budget.
Madam Mayor, that is quite true. I guess the advantage would be that the police council would have the facts in front of them, but it is true, though, that there's no guarantees the council of the day would need then to decide what the priorities were with the development contribution money that it's collecting out of Plumpton.
Councillors, any other questions? I would actually like to rise and move an alternate motion to the one that has been recommended. I move that that Council endorse the roads for sealing as shown in Appendix 1, but I move that Tarleton's Road be also included under the Accelerated Sealing Program for the 2013-2014 budget. Councillors, do I have a councillor to second the motion? Sorry, the alternate motion.
I'd like to second that alternate motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Do I have a councillor who opposes the motion?
I oppose the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Borg. We now enter into debate. And councillors, I remove myself from the chair. Councillors, this accelerated sealing program, as it states in this agenda item, is the application of a lightweight seal to improve the amenity for local residents by eliminating dust from vehicles travelling on gravel road surfaces. It also provides improved ride quality and reduces existing maintenance requirements of council. This is word for word from what it says in this report. Councillors, the residents of Tarleton's Road cannot wait any longer. Also, the 230-odd users of Tarleton's Road cannot wait any longer. It is an inconsistent road. It has certain sections that are sealed and certain sections that are not. I deem that to be very unsafe. If Council decides to include Tarleton's Road in the accelerated sealing program, we will also collect important data that can be used on other roads that are yet to be sealed. There are many more vehicles using Tarleton's Road. Many road users use it to get out of the congestion of Melton Highway. It will improve the amenity for local residents by eliminating dust. It also provides improved ride quality and reduces existing maintenance required of the council. It is a matter of safety. It's a matter of dust suppressant. I urge my fellow councillors to support me in this alternative recommendation. Councillor Ball.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Can I start by saying I'm not actually against the sealing of Tarleton's Road. Obviously, there are many good arguments for the sealing of it. However, I am against the sealing of Tarleton's Road using this program, considering that, one, the traffic count on that road already exceeds the amount which is recommended. The important data which has already been collected to date about this program suggests that this road is not recommended under this particular program. We do not have the full set of information which has been expressed by our General Manager of Planning, who has many years' experience in his field. And if the residents, which obviously, you know, we've all spoken to them, they've all called us, they are quite unhappy with the situation and they're sick of waiting after so many years. However, in 16 months, when we have the full raft of data in front of us and information and know whether the community's money is going to be spent, $300,000, which is going to be spent, only to find out the road's going to fall apart. Yes, maintenance might, and these are the words from our officer, maintenance costs may be minimalised within the short term. However, long term, the road will break down and then we've just got to go back and then we've got to look at other options. Given that it should have just been sealed properly the first time instead of doing a short-term measure for a long-term problem. And that's not the way we should be looking at this. Obviously, the residents are disheartened, and they've certainly done a good job at rallying other councillors. So if councillors are prepared now to seal this road on half the information, then I don't see why they can't seal it when they have the full set of information in 16 months if the developers don't seal it. I don't see why councillors wouldn't be prepared to then. I know in 16 months, if the road has increased traffic counts and the safety issues, of course, are still going to be there, but they'll be there too if we seal this road and it falls apart, not to standard, especially with increased traffic. I know that I'll certainly be a councillor in 16 months who will look very kindly onto something like this with the full set of data. So under this current program, I cannot support the wastage of $300,000 when it's just been said to us that it'll save costs in the short term, but however long term, we're going to have a disaster on our hands.
Thank you, Councillor Borg. Councillor Dunn.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. These residents have been waiting for 17 years to have this road, and I understand Councillor Borg's queries, but the Plumpton PSP that will be coming out at the end of 2014, if that goes on track, has nothing to do with Tarleton's Road in respect that Tarleton's Road is outside the Plumpton PSP. There's no guarantee that the Tarleton's Road will actually be done by the developer. And when the Plumpton PSPs actually come into play, the developer may very well put his money back into other developments that are required within that PSP, remembering that Tarleton's Road is outside the PSP and in the Warrensbrook PSP, which could come down, it could be years, depending on how quickly the existing five PSPs that we already have within the municipality come into play. So I urge my fellow councillors to push for this because it's only taking 200-odd vehicles per day. Troops Road is standing up to 250 per day. The entire length of Tarleton's Road is not going to be accelerated sealed. It's just the end bit where the swamp is going to be, I understand, will not be sealed. And I do believe that that will deter a lot of vehicles from using it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Does any other councillor wish to speak against the motion? Does any other councillor wish to speak for the motion? As my right of reply, currently the road count does not exceed the same amount as does the Troops Road South, as Troops Road South has 250 vehicles per day and this one only has 200 or odd. So this is a matter of safety. It's also to improve the amenity for local residents and also the local road users as well. It's not only the residents that will benefit from this, but also the local road users. It eliminates dust from vehicles and also eliminates dust in the environment as well. Councillor Borg, I'm not quite sure. I understand you only a couple of months ago you were willing to put down a $50,000 footpath only to tear it up in a couple of years' time. You were actually in support of that, so I'm not exactly sure why you're against this one in particular. Excuse me, sir, you're out of order. This is your first warning, Mr. Antonio. This is your first warning. So, councillors, I'd like to ask that the alternate recommendation be accepted with this council. Thank you. Councillors, debate has ended. All those in favour of the alternate motion, please raise your hand. All those against, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. I'll ask for division. All those councillors for the motion, please raise your hand. Councillor Dunn, Councillor Turner, Councillor Maidley. All those against, please raise your hand. Councillor Borg, Councillor Cugliari. I therefore declare the motion carried. Mr. Andrew Antonio, you have now exceeded your second warning. Councillors, move on to 9.3, Notice of Motion 364, Councillor Maidlick, Local Women's Recognition Award. I'd like to move the motion that a report be provided to Council to investigate a Local Women's Recognition Award that recognises the great contributions the women of our community make to our great municipality. Councillors, do I have a seconder in regards to this motion?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Councillors, do I have any councillor who requires any clarification around this motion? Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Moving along to 9.4, Notice of Motion 365, that I ask that a motion... The motion reads that a report be provided to Council on a potential program for Melton City Council to establish a sister city program and the potential benefits this will provide to the Melton community with a suitable municipality in China or other suitable country. Councillors, do I have a seconder in regards to this motion?
Madam Mayor, I'm happy to second this motion.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have any councillor who requires any further clarification? Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Item number 10, public question time. Thank you, Mr. Tory.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We have received a number of public questions for this evening. First question is from Mr. Mario Keisha. Is Mr. Keisha in the gallery? The question from Mr. Keisha is, with respect to all in the council chamber, my request is about a planning permit, public submission, an amendment. Any person may make a submission to the planning authority in accordance with a condition imposed under Section 2D. as now the PSP Corroit 1080, as our land is also within urban growth boundary since 2005. We have been paying very high rates since this date. One important point, the value of this land, I am not talking millions of dollars, as one should talk about money. People tend to go funny, as can be entitled to this money. Us, the landowners, is not the value of dollars that this land has, but what we see it has economic and sustainable use and development of the land, as it is within all infrastructure services and can help address community housing and services and help cheap rent to help foster first home buyers and break the cycle of people and families never owning their own home. We can create our own PSP by building private schools, childcares, kindergartens and family services, our own library and about 192 community housing, one-bedroom, two-bedroom, three-bedroom, and about 90 semi-retired and nursing home places. All this service is to create full-time, long-term job investment and stimulate new business and jobs within our area. As unemployment has been on the rise by 1.5% each year. Unemployment in Melton is over 10%. We don't want to see the new Melton City failing. Melton is in planning scheme review. This is my third public question and request to have consideration for what we try to achieve by getting a subdivision, selling half the land in house lots. Excuse me. We can raise 2 to 3 times the money and have more to build the community housing enterprise and can build it 2 to 3 times cheaper than government can build and maintain it 2 to 3 times cheaper and create jobs within the community housing. Mr. Kelvin Torrey, Mr. Luke Shannon, Planning Manager, to talk to Mr. Bob Baggio, the PSP people, and I attended the meeting in Caroline Springs Library with Matthew Milburn to comply with the planning law for good economics. He has two folders the same as yours, etc., and in appended to that is data to go with the public question time form as more backup material for our humanitarian need, as it is more important to the users of our land, investment of opportunities for a good, sustainable, livable Melton City, and the museum as it serves, and arts with the rest of the community house, and leading network for opportunity for skills and job opportunities. I will refer this matter to Luke Shannon to respond.
Thank you, Mario, for your questions. As I understand, both questions generally relate to the future development of your land in Clark Road, Rockbank, and in particular your desire to establish a sustainable community housing and living opportunity on your property. Just in terms of background, I'm aware that your land was included within the urban growth boundary in August of 2010, and that was done by the state government as part of their overall strategy for the future growth of the whole of metropolitan Melbourne, not just including the city of Melton. You'll be aware that since that time, the state government has released what is called the West Growth Corridor Plan, and that plan sets out to provide a broad overview of how growth in the West will unfold. That in particular focuses on the city of Melton and the city of Wyndham. You alluded earlier to a public session you attended recently in Caroline.
Mr. Gansey, that is your second warning.
Mario, you referred earlier to the Growth Areas Authority.
Mr. Antonio, that is your third warning. Mr. Luke Shannon, you are out of order. Mr. Antonio, I have given you 3 warnings and you have failed to resume order. I therefore order you to remove yourself from the chamber, Mr. Antonio. Let the record show that Mr. Antonio has not removed himself from the gallery. I will now ask a member of the police force to remove Mr. Antonio from the chamber. Councillors, under section 9.6 under the meeting procedure. Excuse me, the sir with the moustache, you are out of order. This is your first warning. Mr. Gansey, this is your third and final warning. You are in breach of councillors' meeting procedure local law. This is your third and final warning. You are out of order, Mr. Gansey. I have given you three warnings and you have failed to resume order. I therefore order you to remove yourself from the chamber. Mr. Gansey, let the record show that Mr. Gansey has not removed himself from the gallery. I will now ask a member of the police force to remove Mr. Gansey from the chamber. Councillors, under section 9.6 under the meeting procedure local law, this meeting is adjourned. All councillors and council staff are to retreat into the councillors' lounge, except Mr. Tory. Thank you, councillors and council staff.
Please, I'm an injured person. Just let go. Let go, please. I'm an injured person. Please. Please. Please.
sure. Is that everyone? Have we got everyone? Okay.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, councillors. We will continue on with the meeting. And apparently we were still up to question time. Mr. Luke Shannon or Mr. Tory?
Mr. Shannon will continue with the response to
thank
the
you,
first
Mr.
question.
Shannon.
Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Mr. Kosher, I was halfway through my response to your query regarding your property in Clark Road. And I just reached the point of indicating that I was aware that you'd attended a recent forum convened by Council on the Growth Areas Authority at Caroline Springs to discuss the Corroit PSP. You'll be aware that the Growth Areas Authority is currently in the process of preparing three precinct structure plans within the City of Melton. These are, in essence, more detailed growth plans, which would broadly be consistent with the West Growth Corridor Plan that I referred to earlier. One of the key structure plans that is being led by the Growth Areas Authority is known as Corroit, and that obviously includes your property. I'm aware that both the Growth Areas Authority and Council have been engaging specifically with you over your aspirations for the future development of that land, and that was articulated in your two questions. It's expected the structure plan will be completed by the end of next year. The final structure plan will provide the clear direction as to the development opportunities in Corroit, including your land. And accordingly, I would strongly encourage you to continue to work, particularly with the Growth Areas Authority, as they undertake further work on the development of that plan. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon.
The next question, Madam Mayor, is from Mr. Andreas Antonio. And his question is, he's no longer in the gallery,
we'll
so
provide him with a written response.
Written response will be provided. Next question is from Karen Antonio. Ms. Antonio in the gallery?
Hand up, please. No, she will be
A written response will be provided. Next question is also from Karen Antonio, who's not in the gallery. Next question is from Mr. Nathan Miles. Mr. Miles is in the gallery. Mr. Miles has two questions. First question is, what roadworks are still occurring on Goulet Road, as it would appear the duplication has been completed? Why are their lanes closed? They have been a number of months. Traffic is congested and the road is dangerous. Mr. Luke Shannon, General Manager of Planning and Development, will respond to that question.
Thank you, Nathan, for your question. You'll be aware that over the last number of years, Council has been progressively duplicating Goulet Road, and that work is, in essence, nearing completion. The current lane closures to which you refer are generally limited to the intersection of Goulet Road and Allenby Road, in relatively close proximity to the Parkwood Green Primary School. Works are currently being undertaken at this location to improve road safety at what is quite a busy intersection, and these works are expected to be completed by the end of September, at which point all lane closures can be removed. I appreciate this is causing some bottlenecks at that location. This is a very important intersection, and it's important that these safety measures are put in place. So I would urge everyone to be patient over the next 4 to 5 weeks while those works are completed. Thank you.
The second question from Mr. Miles is, it was reported recently that children were subjected to pornographic images whilst visiting the new library. It has also been revealed that the computers at Council enable access to pornography and anyone can access pornography should they choose to. It is not appropriate for children to be exposed to pornography whilst visiting their local library. Can Council immediately install pornography filters on these public computers to protect innocent children within our community from being exposed to future pornography whilst visiting the library? And Mr. Ian Stewart, the Acting General Manager of Corporate Services, will provide the response.
Thank you, Mr. Miles, for the question. In line with the position of the Australian Libraries and Information Association, in line with the position of the Australian Library and Information Association and two-thirds of councils across Australia, this council does not provide filtering on public computers. Council does, however, require all users to comply with council policy, which outlines the conditions of use and this policy incorporates actions to manage any inappropriate use. Patrons may be banned from using library services on the grounds of inappropriate use. Both the Melton and Caroline Springs libraries have not received any complaints from the public in the past 12 months. In that time, 2012-13 annual statistics, we have had made approximately 55,000 PC bookings at both libraries for a total of just over 34,000 hours of access, and in the same time we've had over 380,000 people visit our libraries. The Melton Library Service will, in response to this incident, review and strengthen its communication with patrons and staff and liaise with IT providers to endeavour to install appropriate levels of filtering.
The next question is from Sam Gansey, who's no longer in the gallery, so a written response will be provided to that question. The next question is from Kamal Chalruk. Is Mr. Chalruk in the gallery? Yes? Okay. His question is, there are two questions. First one is, my application is for two double-storey townhouses behind an existing dwelling at 13 Speargrass Drive Hillside, backing towards a Calder Reserve. The planner says, find me examples and we will consider. I found numerous. Near my home, there is constructed at Matheson Terrace 52 units in bulk formation. The council have also approved 29 double-storey multi-unit development plan at 12 to 18 Domain Drive Hillside, and if I understand correctly by which planners define character, then it completely ignores neighbourhood characteristics, shows detached and attached homes, separated garages, having dwellings in numerous bulk formations on much smaller allotment sites, hence surrounded by modern homes with luxury allotment sizes. However, my application for two double-storey townhouses behind the existing dwelling complies with all codes and guidelines and more so fits into the neighbourhood and its neighbourhood characteristics, it being the smallest house and having the largest land area backing toward the Calder Reserve of Speargrass Drive and Darley Court, and more so incognito. Why is it that council think it's bulky and only agreeing to one townhouse to be constructed to the rear of the existing dwelling and not two? What about the referenced examples I've just listed? Is it not contradictory? I refer this matter to Mr. Bob Baggio, Planning Manager for Council.
Thank you very much for the question. Just in relation to that question, it's important to note that the notion of neighbourhood character can and does differ from area to area. Therefore, just because a particular housing development is considered appropriate in one area, it doesn't necessarily follow that it is equally appropriate in another area which has different characteristics. In terms of the planning application at 13 Speargrass Drive in Hillside, which is listed for council consideration at item 11.9 on the agenda, council officers in this case are concerned that the two-storey attached nature of the development located behind the existing single-storey dwelling is really at odds in terms of bulk and scale with existing development in the surrounding area, which is predominantly large single detached dwellings with open backyards.
Mr. Sharuk's second question is on the same subject matter. My second question, if I use the quote, an abstract from Understanding Neighbourhood Character is this, underlined. It is common for some areas to be described as having little or no character and other areas as having lots of character. These sorts of descriptions confuse neighbourhood character with attractiveness. All areas have a character in the same way that all people have a personality. In some areas, the character may be more obvious, more unusual or more attractive, but no area can be described as having no character. In most cases, about five sites or buildings up and down the street, across the street and behind the site in question should be sufficient to identify the features of the neighbourhood that should influence the design. However, sometimes it may be necessary to look further than this, depending upon the individual circumstances of the site and the neighbourhood.
what does respect mean? This is still underlined, so I presume this is part of the same abstract. Respecting character does not mean preventing change. The neighbourhood character standard is not intended to result in the replication of existing building stock or stop change. Respecting neighbourhood character does not mean limiting the scope of design interpretation and innovation or mimicry or pattern book design. Instead, it means designing the development to respond to the features and characteristics identified in the neighbourhood. I think that's the end of the abstract, and now it's more back to the commentary. The approval of the application for dual double-storey townhouses to the rear of the existing dwelling is needed to house my family together on the one site, as family unity is paramount, especially my ageing parents and their health issues, which is more important, yet still having freedom of separate houses for my brother and I. Moreover, my application has shown to comply with all codes and guidelines and more so fits into the neighbourhood and its neighbourhood characteristics and the examples I have given. From my reconnaissance, other councils around the state do not have issues with dual unit development, as I have given numerous examples of situations. Can you please explain how Melton Council used neighbourhood character as a tool and only use it when suited to give concessions to developers who stand to make large sums of money, and family value is secondary even when all codes and guidelines are fulfilled and compelled to, hence 7 years in the making was waiting for covenant expiration, and it's the subjectiveness of a planner that can destroy a family's wealth. Again, I'll seek Mr. Bob Baggio to respond.
Thanks. So look, in terms of the second question, the fact that the future occupants of the proposed dwellings may be family members, is unfortunately not a relevant consideration to council's or officers' assessment of the application. Instead, officers are required to assess the application under Clause 55 of the planning scheme, which we've done, which amongst other things requires council to determine fundamentally whether the proposal is respectful of the character of the surrounding area. I acknowledge that this assessment is by its very nature subjective. However, officers in this case are not satisfied the proposal is either site responsive or sensitive to the prevailing character of the area. Thank you.
Is there a clarification, sir? Sorry, sir, I can only ask for clarification. I can't ask for subsequent questions. I guess you'll get your answer once it comes through the agenda item, sir. Thank you.
Next question is from Andrula Tuvana. Ms. Tuvana in the meeting?
No.
Oh, okay. Ms. Tuvana is in the meeting. Her question is, at any time in the past 24 months or at any time in the next 24 months, does the City of Melton have intentions of sealing Tarleton's Road in Plumpton? I will ask Mr. Shannon to respond to this question. However, it does relate to an earlier resolution at this meeting.
Thank you, Andrew, for your question. You recall that one of the first items for consideration tonight under item 9.2 related to the accelerated road sealing program. And you'll recall that Council has resolved to seal the balance of Tarleton's Road in the forthcoming financial year. You also ask whether the issue has been, whether Council has previously resolved to seal Tarleton's Road in the previous 2 years or thereabouts. And the answer to that is no. However, as I've mentioned, Council had determined tonight to proceed with that work in the current financial year.
Next question is again from Ms. Tivana, and that question is, did Downer, bracket, contractor for unsealed roads, close bracket, contact council in the last month or so in regards to extra money from council in order to raise the height of Beatty's Road, Rockbank, bracket, west of Leakes Road, close bracket, to avoid flooding and the formation of potholes so quickly after grading, and did council agree to the funds or refuse them, and why? Again, I refer this to Mr. Luke Shannon, General Manager, Planning and Development.
Thank you again, Andrew, for the question. You're obviously aware that council contracts out the maintenance of its road network to Downer EDI. They are responsible for inspecting and undertaking routine maintenance of all council roads, including gravel roads, on behalf of council, and that's done in accordance with the specification that council establishes at the start of that process. In particular, in relation to Beatty's Road, that's programmed to be graded on an 8-weekly cycle. During a regular inspection of Beatty's Road undertaken by our contractor, as they're required to do under their contract with us, and that occurred in July, it was recognised that a specific section of Beatty's Road between Leakes Road and Water Reserve Road was pooling and holding water, and accordingly required the placement of further gravel at that specific location as part of the next scheduled grade. These works were approved by council in accordance with the contract we have with Downer EDI, and that work was subsequently undertaken, and that, I understand, entailed the provision of 2 truck and trailer loads of gravel to that specific location as part of those works.
Mr. Tavani, is there any possibility we could get those diary entries? Great.
Through Madam Mayor, the advice I just provided is a reflection of the advice our contract manager has provided on the issue. However, as you've offered to provide any further information, I'm happy to review that and provide you with the latest advice. Madam Mayor, I've answered the question to the best of my ability at this time.
The advice I've provided reflects
the advice I've received from
Once you give us the diary entries, we can look further into... He has answered the question, obviously not to your standard. If you could give us the diary entries, we could look into it further. And even if you want a meeting with myself and Mr. Luke Shannon, we can certainly discuss the issue further. Thank you.
Next question, Madam Mayor, is from Savula Tuvana, who's in the gallery. And the question is council increasing council rates of properties in order to subsidise superannuation shortfalls? Are council's financially bad decisions or situations the responsibility of its ratepayers? As you would be aware, council is a member of Local Authority Superannuation Fund, which operated a defined benefits plan that was established in 1982, and continued through until the defined benefit superannuation fund was closed to new members in 1993. In 1988, the fund transitioned from being a state regulated fund, which was an exempt public sector fund, to a Commonwealth regulated environment, which meant it came under the SIS Act, or the Superannuation Industry Act. All Victorian councils and water authorities and cemetery trusts and regional library corporations are members of the Defined Benefits Superannuation Fund and are answerable to, in respect of that membership, to a board of trustees. And the duty of the trustees is to operate the fund in the interests of the individual members of the fund. The obligation for council to fund shortfalls, or all members of the fund to fund shortfalls, is legally enforceable. And the trustee could pursue any of the members who failed to comply with a call in relation to any actuarial assessment of any shortfall in the fund. Council is required to meet the shortfall obligation, and it achieves this through the budget process. There is no more direct link to rates than there is to any other element of council income or any other element of council expenditure that's contained within the budget. It forms within the totality of the budget, and the council incurring costs in meeting the shortfall means that there are other works that council has to defer or cannot undertake, because council is obliged to meet its statutory obligation.
Please remain silent in the gallery.
It is a financial risk the council has to manage, and is a consequence of having had a defined benefits scheme some years in the past. There are a number of ongoing members throughout the local government industry, and this will remain the case for many years into the future. And it is council's, as I've pointed out, council's responsibility to abide by the legislation in respect of any calls on the fund.
Sorry, sir, you are out of order. First warning. Miss Tavana, you are warned. First warning.
Next question is from Miss Anne Fairweather. Miss Fairweather's in the gallery. Reference to agenda item 11.11, 27th of the 8th, 2013. If this item is passed and an extra 75 houses are built, it will add to more vehicles accessing Karenjeng Drive, which is the only access... Sorry, full stop. Population increases to this area of a minimum of 3 per house and an average of 2 cars each, making 150 extra vehicles with only one outlet. No public transport is allowed due to there being only one outlet for the whole area to Centenary Avenue. From the whole of Karenjeng Estate West, this should necessitate an extra road opening, i.e. Thrice Lane or Gunawarra Road, making it necessary to build a bridge and a road to the Melton-Gisborne Road. Refer this to Mr. Luke Shannon to respond.
Thank you, Anne, for your question. As you rightfully point out, this issue is subject to a report on the council agenda tonight. In the event that council endorses an officer recommendation, up to 76 additional lots would be created, and there's no doubt as a consequence of that, traffic would naturally increase in the immediate area. I should point out, however, and this is detailed in the officer's report, that the applicant has prepared a professionally prepared traffic assessment, which indicates that the road network that exists in that area can accommodate the additional traffic, which coincidentally is a view shared by our traffic engineers, but I do respect the fact that yourselves and other residents in the immediate area may well have a divergent view from that, and I respect that fact. Just in terms of the status of the current proposal, in the event that council endorses the recommendation, it's in essence the start of the process. It would require a planning scheme amendment to be publicly exhibited. Formal submissions would be received, and no doubt issues regarding traffic would be raised. Any amendment would then need to come back to council with details of all those submissions and how they could be resolved, if at all possible, and at that point council will decide whether or not to proceed any further with the proposal. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Next question is from Alan Fairweather, who's also in the gallery. Referencing again agenda item 11.11 of this evening's agenda, re this proposal, have the council officers inspected the traffic flows at school times when the cars are banked up past Mobley Crescent? Past Mowbray Crescent, waiting to get out past the high school, and as we are looking at an increase of 75 homes and no public transport, where will the queue start? And it is urgent It is all right to say it is a short car trip to the shops in High Street if you can find somewhere to park when you get there. If this proposal goes ahead, does it mean that all the larger blocks will have to be connected to the sewage and stormwater mains, and who would have to cover the costs of this? So again, I'll refer that to Mr. Luke Shannon.
Thank you, Alan, for your question. I think to some extent I may have answered some of the issues you raised in the previous answer, but clearly the issue of traffic and traffic management will be an issue that Council needs to pay significant attention to, and we will certainly undertake to do so. In terms of the servicing issue that you mentioned, I assume you're talking about other existing lots in the immediate area other than within the development itself? Yes, Madam Mayor, so all the proposed allotments would be connected to water, sewer, power and the like, and obviously the drainage network. That in itself does not mean, though, that other existing lots in the wider area, if they don't have access to all of those services, they won't be compelled to provide a connection. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Luke Shannon. Councillors, that's it for public question time. We move on to Agenda Item 11, Presentation of Staff Reports. 11.1, Authorising of a Fixing. Mr. Turner.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move that items 11.1, 11.2, 11.3, 11.5, 11.6, 11.7, 11.12 and 11.13 be moved in block.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Councillor Turner's motion to move in block items 11.1, 11.2, 11.3, 11.5, 11.6, 11.7, 11.12 and 11.13. Do I have a councillor to second the motion? Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour of the motion? All those against? I declare the motion carried. Sorry, councillors, but it is the new local laws procedure, so I do have to ask for a show of hands. Moving on to item number 11.4, draft annual financial statements, standard statements and performance statements, 30th of June 2013, presented by Mr. Ian Stewart, Acting General Manager for Corporate Services. Thank you, Mr. Stewart.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I wish to present Item 11.4, Draft Annual Financial Statements. This report is provided to Council in principle for the statement for the end of 30th of June prior to being submitted to the Council's Auditor and in accordance with Sections 131 and 132 of the Local Government Act. The Audit Committee meeting on the 23rd of August 2013 discussed and reviewed the Draft Annual Financial Statements, Standard Statements and Performance Statements for the year ended 30th of June. The Audit Committee has recommended that Council approve the statements prior to them being submitted to the Order as required under the Local Government Act, and the recommendation is provided on page 76.
Thank you, Mr. Stewart. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? Do I have a councillor to move the motion?
I'll move the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Cagliari. Do I have a councillor to second the motion?
I'd like to second that.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour of the motion, please raise your hand. All those against? I therefore declare the motion carried. Moving on to agenda item 11.8, planning application PA2012/3825, multi-lot stage residential subdivision and removal of native vegetation at 1256 Mount Cottrell Road, Melton South. Councillor Turner.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move an alternative motion to this one.
Sure. Councillor Turner.
I'd like to move that Council resolve that to issue a planning permit for the above proposal subject to the following conditions as contained in the document which all councillors have.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Councillor Turner has moved an alternate motion for this item in the agenda. Do I have a councillor to second the
Sorry, Madam Mayor, can I get my copy of the alternative, please?
Thank you. Do I have a councillor to second the alternate motion?
Can I second the alternate, please?
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have any councillor who requires any further clarification around the alternate?
Madam Mayor,
Do I have any councillor who opposes the alternate motion? All those in favour, councillors, please raise your hand. All those opposed, I therefore declared the alternate motion carried. Councillor Turner, do you wish to speak to the motion? Sure.
Madam Mayor, I'd just like to say that I understand the planning department's concern that we would like all developments to be moved in a certain direction from the centre out, which is preferable for our services and service delivery. However, we have a lot of residents now who are in PSPs, and I don't feel it's completely fair for us to stand in the way of them developing just because they're not in the correct order that we prefer. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Does any other councillor wish to speak to the motion? The motion has been carried, so if there's nothing else further, I'd like to move on to item 11.9, planning application PA 2012/3755 and development plan application DP 2012/005, construction of two double-storey dwellings at the rear of an existing dwelling at 13 Speargrass Drive, Hillside. And the presenter will be Mr. Bob Baggio, Manager of Planning. Thank you, Mr. Baggio.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The subject site has an area of 1,195 square metres and is located on the northern side of Speargrass Drive in the suburb of Hillside. The lot, in fact, is located on the northern edge of the Hillside area where it adjoins the urban growth boundary. The lot currently contains an existing single-storey dwelling which occupies essentially the front half of the site, and the surrounding area comprises similar-sized lots characterised by large single-detached housing. The area contains little in the way of higher density or medium density housing development, no doubt as a result of a previous restrictive covenant which expired in August 2012, which prevented, amongst other things, the construction of more than one dwelling on a lot. This application proposes the construction of two double-storey attached dwellings at the rear of an existing single-storey dwelling on the land. The proposed dwellings...
Sorry, can you just put the microphone a bit closer, Mr. Badger? Thank you.
The proposed dwellings are essentially contemporary in design, have a degree of articulation at first floor level, and are accessed from a common driveway located adjoining the eastern boundary of the land. The application was informally advertised, Madam Mayor, and free submissions or objections were received to the application. The grounds of objection can basically be summarised as concerns about devaluation of their properties, concern that the proposal is inconsistent with the character of the area, and the proposal would result in overlooking and loss of privacy. In terms of assessing the application, Madam Mayor, from an officer perspective, the main issues with the application are basically whether it's respectful of the prevailing character of the area and whether it's symptomatic of an overdevelopment of the site. In this respect, there is concern that two attached two-storey dwellings, which are in effect squeezed, if you like, or shoehorned into the rear yard of the site, is not respectful of the character of the existing area. While there are no doubt examples of this type of development in other areas, each application has to be assessed, taking into account the opportunities and constraints of the particular site and the pattern of existing development in the surrounding area. In this context, it is considered difficult to argue that the proposal is site responsive and it fits in with development within the surrounding area. It's therefore recommended, Madam Mayor, that the application be refused and the development plan also be rejected by Council. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Badger. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? Councillor Ramsey.
Madam Mayor, I may. When did you say, sorry, Mr. Badger, the covenant on the area finished?
The covenant expired in at the end of August last year.
Okay. And when you say informally advertised, did it meet all the requirements for the advertised period?
It was, for you, Madam Mayor, it was essentially informally advertised because it's in a development plan overlay area.
Okay.
And it's one of those technicalities in the planning scheme that if it's covered by a development plan overlay, then any application which is generally in accordance with the development plan is exempt from the notice requirements.
Okay. And the gentleman during question time was talking about housing for elderly parents and brothers and stuff.
Sorry, Councillor Ramsey, could we please shut that door? I'm finding it very difficult to hear, and I'm sure the members of the gallery are probably experiencing the same.
Would we look differently on the application if it was for a dependent housing unit at the back rather than two townhouses sort of thing?
Through you, Madam Mayor, a dependent person's unit, which is essentially a transportable home, if you like, on the property, in fact, would not require a town planning permit. So it could be permitted as of right.
So if the gentleman wanted to provide housing for his family to be on that block, he could provide a dependent housing unit with no permit?
Yeah, that could be accommodated.
Just a further clarification in regards to Councillor Ramsey's question, is there a limited number or a maximum number of the
dependent
unit? Are they allowed to put one or two, or is there a maximum with that?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, through you, Madam Mayor, there's no maximum, but generally speaking, there's only the one dependent person's unit that's normally provided on a particular property.
I'm just asking because obviously, the item is asking for two double-storey dwellings. I'm just wondering if there could be potentially two, if they fit, dependent person's unit.
For you, Madam Mayor, I believe it would be restricted to one.
Okay. Councillors, any further questions in regards to this item? Do I have a mover for this agenda item?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the recommendations of the officers, and I'm actually concerned that the further two dwellings is an overdevelopment of the site, and the applicant should consider making a fresh proposal of one further dwelling, which would be more in keeping with the existing neighbourhood character.
Thank you, Councillor Cagliari. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
I'd like to second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. All those against, I declare the motion carried. Moving on to agenda item 11.10, Melton Planning Scheme Amendment C151A, site-specific exclusion and incorporated document to allow the use and development of 1992/2106 Western Highway, Rockbank, for a horse riding school. Presented by Mr. Bob Baggio, Managing for Planning. Thank you, Mr. Baggio.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This particular proposal relates to a site which has a total area of about 44 hectares, which is located on the eastern side of Leakes Road in Rockbank. The site is actually within the approved Rockbank North Precinct Structure Plan area and is therefore zoned urban growth zone. What's being requested is essentially an amendment to the council's planning scheme to allow the use and development of the land for a horse riding school to be used by the Riding for the Disabled Association Victoria. A planning scheme amendment is required, as in this instance the proposed use is prohibited within the zone that applies to the land. The proposed use and development will be located on only about 1 hectare of the 44-hectare parcel and will comprise an existing indoor riding arena, an attached office, a small horse stabling area and a car parking area to accommodate 29 car parking spaces. From a planning perspective, it's considered that the use of the land for a horse riding school by the Riding for the Disabled Association of Victoria for a period of 30 years will not prejudice the ultimate development of the Rockbank North PSP. As the majority of the PSP is under the ownership of one developer, they control the staging of their development and due to the location of existing services and infrastructure, it is likely that development will commence in the southwest portion of the PSP away from this site. It is not anticipated that development will occur in the area immediately around the site in the short to medium terms. Further, the Rockmack North PSP includes a total area of some 396 hectares of land, which is available for residential development, whereas this particular proposal would set aside only 1 hectare of that land for a, in effect, an interim alternative use, even though the use is proposed to be for 30 years. On that basis, it's therefore recommended that the amendment as submitted to the Minister for Planning be submitted to the Minister for Planning for authorisation, and that a request for exemption is made in accordance with the requirements of the Planning and Environment Act in terms of notification of the amendment. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Badger. Does any councillor require any further clarification or question in regards to this item? Do I have a mover for the item?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move this item.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Do I have a councillor who seconds the motion?
I'll second this motion, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. All those against, I declare the motion carried. I'm calling for a division. All those in favour, please raise your hand. Councillor Dunn, Councillor Cugliari, Councillor Turner, Councillor Madeley, Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Borg, in favour. All those against, none. I declare the motion carried. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. 11.11, Melton Planning Scheme Amendment C144 and PA2013/3989, application for rezoning at 2/4, 6/8, 24 and 26 Outlook Ride and 2 Gunawarra Road, Kurrinjang, and subdivision at 6/8, 24 and 26 Outlook Ride, Kurrinjang. And this is to be presented by Mr. Bob Badger, Manager for Planning. Thank you, Mr. Badger.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The subject land in this case consists of 3 adjoining land parcels, the largest of which fronts the north side of Outlook Ride in Kurrinjang, with rear abuttal to Little Blind Creek, with the other 2 lots fronting the east side of Outlook Ride. The land has a total area of 5.2 hectares. The land is actually located on the periphery of an existing low-density residential area and more conventional residential areas in Kurrinjang. The 2 smaller lots are in effect part of the low-density residential estate, with the larger lot currently providing a buffer to conventional residential areas to the north, south and east. The land is currently zoned low density residential zone under the council's planning scheme, as is the land to the west right through to Coburn's Road. Land to the north, south and east is currently zoned residential one zone. In March 2012, council considered a request to rezone the land to facilitate its redevelopment into residential lots. Council at the time resolved not to support the request, and although no formal grounds were given to the rejection, it is believed that the main concern related to increased traffic and safety issues in proximity to the existing schools on Kurrinjang Road and Centenary Drive, which could be exacerbated by the development. What's being proposed is a further request to amend the planning scheme as a dual planning scheme amendment and planning permit process under Section 96A of the Planning and Environment Act. This process would effectively enable the land to be rezoned to residential one zone and subsequently subdivided into 75 residential lots. A concept subdivision plan showing the subdivision design has been submitted with the request, which shows a gradation of lot sizes from east to west, an internal road system with 2 connection points onto Outlook Ride, and the provision of the continuation of the linear reserve along the Little Blind Creek. In terms of the planning merits of the proposal, it's considered by officers that the proposal essentially complies with both relevant state and local planning policies in the planning scheme. The subject land is also able to be connected to all reticulated services and is reasonably close to the Kurrenjang primary and secondary schools and the Kurrenjang Reserve. The main retail community and public transport facilities are generally found in the High Street and Woodgrove activity centres, which, although beyond reasonable walking distance, are fairly easily accessible by a short car trip. Further, a traffic assessment accompanied the amendment request, which confirmed that Kurrenjang Drive and the local road network can easily accommodate the minor increase in traffic anticipated from the development proposed. Kurrenjang Drive itself is designed and constructed to take in the order of up to 12,000 vehicle movements per day, and at this time it is nowhere near its capacity. It is also unlikely to reach such capacity, with the site possibly representing the last significant infill site in this area. At the peak morning and afternoon periods, vehicles from this development are considered to only represent one additional vehicle per minute. Council's Engineering Department concurs with the findings of the independent traffic assessment. It should be noted by Council that a subdivision permit was issued for the subdivision of the site back in 2004 as a low-density residential area, which has resulted in the creation of only two out of the 11 lots at the southeast corner of the land. It's considered appropriate that any rezoning of the subject land should also include these two existing lots in order to avoid a situation of creating a small island of low-density residential lands surrounded by residential zone land. On that basis, Madam Mayor, it's recommended that Council seek authorisation to initiate a Section 96A planning scheme amendment process from the Minister for Planning, and upon receipt of authorisation, exhibit the amendment application and permit in accordance with the Planning and Environment Act. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr Badgio. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? Do I have a councillor to move the item? Speaker, please, Councillor Ramsey.
I'd like to move the item, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a councillor who seconds the motion?
I'll second it, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have a councillor who opposes the motion?
I oppose the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Borg. We will enter into debate. Councillor Ramsey.
March 2012, I supported the application purely because it goes to the Minister, and this is the only avenue it can actually get a hearing. And if we go down that path, we can then formally advertise and do all the exhibit the amendment and see what the community around it feel. Until we have that form of public consultation, as Mr Badgio said, it's the last possible site left in that area. I understand the constraints around increased traffic and safety management, and yet the two people in the gallery are probably two of the closest and dearest to me. But having said that, we need to put it out to the Minister, see if he or she will approve it, and then we then put it out for public exhibition, and that way we can find out what the issues really are around it. We know a lot of them, but we really need to hear from the community that live in that area, and then we get a second bite at the cherry once that's all done.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Councillor Borg.
Thank you. I don't think I can actually put my concerns any better than Anne and Alan did. I totally concur with the points that they've raised, and I have, since the start that I've been on this council and since I've received information about this area, I cannot in good faith or with good judgment support any future development in this area without there being another entry and exit. All it takes is some unforeseen circumstance to block off that one entry and exit that is there now, and then suddenly we have cars, hopefully, if the gate's opened and if it's on time, going through that other area, causing a whole other raft of concerns. This development needs to be done properly with the due consideration and with that section of Melton Township developed properly and opened up. That's always been my position. That will continue to be my position until I feel that the residents are safe in that area.
Thank you, Councillor Ball. Do I have any councillor who wishes to speak? Oh, sorry, Councillor Turner.
Yes, Madam Mayor. Look, I have been through this one as long as Broden has. The traffic concern to me is the main concern. That's why I'd like to see the proper survey done, proper due diligence done on this area. I don't feel it's correct to stop the development if it can be proved that it can be dealt with properly. In their concern, they said there was 2 to 3 vehicles per hour. I doubt it's that little myself, but I'd like to see this put through the proper planning process and to come up with and give the residents of the area the opportunity to have input into this, and then we can have a true community area here with the correct feedback from the whole community. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have any other councillor who wishes to speak against the motion? Do I have a councillor who wishes to speak for the motion? Councillor Ramsey, you have the right of reply.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think one entry and one exit into Kurrinjung has always been an issue and was heavily debated with Thrice Gloaming Ride. And although there have been parts of Centenary sealed, it's still not at a level where that's ready to go. And plus, during the budget, there have been so many priorities that that at the end of the day, it will come up when its needs meet the priorities that are out there. There are 1,600 residents in there, and one entry and exit into Kurrinjung is dangerous, and that will be first and foremost on everybody's mind when it does go to public exhibition. But now I think it's fair that the developer be allowed to proceed to the minister, go out to public exhibition, and once the community speaks, then we can address all these issues, all these concerns, and hopefully have the best outcome for the community.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Debate has now closed. All those in favour of the motion, please raise your hand. All those against, I declare the motion carried.
Could I ask for a division, please?
Councillor Borg has asked for a division. All those councillors in favour, please raise your hand. Councillor Dunn, Councillor Quigliari, Councillor Turner, Councillor Madeley, Councillor Ramsey. All those against, Councillor Borg, I declare the motion carried. Moving along to 11.14, Melton Planning Scheme Amendment C135683/687 and 761/797 High Street, Melton West, presented by Mr. Bob Baggio. Thank you, Mr. Baggio.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This Amendment C135 proposes to rezone land in High Street, Melton West, which is owned by both BitPros and is surplus to their requirements, and part of the land is also owned by the Melton Gospel Trust. The amendment proposes to rezone the land currently subject to the farming zone to residential one zone, consistent with the zoning of the surrounding area, and to rezone a portion of the land adjacent to the Bullmans Road Western Freeway intersection from the farming zone and industrial free zones to road zone to facilitate a future diamond interchange at this location. The preparation of the amendment was authorised by the Minister for Planning, and 9 submissions were subsequently received, with only 2 of those actually objecting to the amendment. The submissions were subsequently referred to an independent planning panel appointed by the Minister for Planning, which has recommended that the amendment should be adopted as exhibited. So it's therefore recommended, Madam Mayor, as per the recommendation in the report, that Council adopt the amendment and sends it to the Minister for Planning for approval. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Badger. Do I have any councillor who requires any further clarification? Councillor Ramsey.
How long did it take to get the bridge over the other one without the diamond interchange, and how long before we foresee an overlay being put on these entities' properties could it be 10, 15, 20, 25 years? Or could the diamond interchange never happen?
Through you, Madam Mayor, if I may. So under this scenario, the zoning for a diamond interchange remains. So the opportunity for it exists and Vic Roads will own the land. Equally, at the Harkness Road location, there is land reserved for a diamond interchange. You recall that as part of the Anthony's Cutting project, Council advocated very strongly for a diamond interchange at Bullmans Road. That was unfortunately unsuccessful. However, we did receive a flyover, which was better than nothing. With the recent expansion of the urban growth boundary, the opportunity to look more closely at a diamond interchange at Harkness Road may well be arguably higher on the agenda than Bullmans Road, given its bookend, if you like, in terms of the western edge of the township. But ultimately, one would like to see a diamond interchange at each of those locations, but Council probably needs at some point to form a position on its priority out of the two opportunities. But my suggestion would probably be Harkness Road.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Are there any other questions, councillors? Do I have a councillor to move the motion?
Based on that response, I'll move the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a councillor to second the motion?
I'll second the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Borg. Do I have a councillor who opposes the motion? All those councillors in favour of the motion, please raise your hand. All those against, I declare the motion carried. Item number 11.15, Local Government Referendum Update, presented by Mr. Ian Stewart, Acting General Manager for Corporate Services. Thank you, Mr. Stewart. Can you put that on? Yeah, nice and close.
The purpose of the report is to provide an update on the local government referendum. Due to the change of the election date, Prime Minister Kevin Rudd announced on the 4th of August that the proposed referendum on the status of local government under the Constitution will not take place. Council have previously resolved to contribute to an amount of $10,000 to support the Notion Australia Local Government Association campaign to promote and advocate for a yes vote in the referendum. Council has requested a refund of all of the portion of the monies contributed, and there's a recommendation on page 205.
Thank you, Mr. Stewart. Do I have any councillor who requires any further clarification in regards to this item? Do I have a mover for this item?
I'd like to move the item, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a councillor to second the item?
I'll second it, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cagliari. Do I have a councillor who opposes the motion? All those councillors in favour of the motion, please raise your hand. All those against, I declare the motion carried. Moving along to item 11.16, Werribee River Trail Strategy, presented by Mr. Luke Shannon, General Manager for Planning and Development. Thank you, Mr. Shannon.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This report presents to Council for adoption the Werribee River Trail Strategy, and if I can refer councillors to Appendix 1, a full copy of the proposed strategy is attached. Council will recall considering a report on this issue at its July 2012 ordinary meeting, and at that time resolved to place on public exhibition the draft strategy. The strategy sets out to establish a high-level vision for the establishment of a shared trail effectively between the Melton Township and Werribee along the alignment of the Werribee River. The Werribee River presents an exciting opportunity in terms of its geographical and environmental assets. However, it currently has very limited public access. The strategy sets out a vision to, over time, establish a shared trail along the alignment of the river, particularly as urban development continues to occur in the city of Wyndham. The strategy has been prepared jointly by the City of Melton, the City of Wyndham, Parks Victoria, with the support of the state government, with the support of state government funding through a program that was known as the Vision for Werribee Plains program. There's no immediate funding, Madam Mayor, for the establishment of the trail along the river, but as detailed earlier, as urban development occurs, particularly within the City of Wyndham, the trail can be established through those developments. The strategy will also enable funding opportunities to be sought for the establishment of the trail outside the established urban growth boundary, particularly as it applies to the lower reaches of the City of Melton. Madam Mayor, I commend to Council the strategy as attached at Appendix Number 1. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Do I have any councillor who requires any further clarification? Do I have a councillor to move the motion?
I'm pleased to move this motion, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have a councillor who'd like to second the motion?
I'd like to second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour of the motion, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. And may I just commend the officers for a fantastic report. A lot of work has obviously gone into this, and it'll be exciting once the project gets off and running. So just a highly commended to the officers and the department. Moving along to item number 12, reports from delegates appointed by council to other bodies. I'd like to start off with Councillor Dunn.
Sorry, Madam Mayor.
That's okay.
So I'm actually going back to July because it wasn't spoken about at the last council meeting. So during the interim of the last 2 months, I've actually attended two of the Heritage Advisory Committee groups. One of the Melton Weir Advisory Group, a policy review panel, two suburb naming advisory committees, two Ravenhall Prison Project committees, the West Waters Committee grant meeting, which is not a council committee, and that's pretty well it. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Councillor Cugliari.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Last month, attended the Melton Highway Committee, and the notes were actually in the agenda, and that was attended by myself and Councillor Turner. I also attended the Ravenhall Advisory Committee, where we actually went through this correctional facility development plan. That was last month, and that was attended by myself, Councillor Dunn, and Mr. Shannon. This month I attended the Collingwood Community Benefit Program, where we needed to assess, that was last night, where we needed to assess 21 applicants who applied for various projects. I also attended the Early Years Partnership meeting last week, and we just went through the terms of references that was developed and that needs to be endorsed. There was discussions around the maternal child health, discussions about kindergarten signage, especially where they are held at community centres. We also discussed about a survey that was conducted. There was 375 people that actually answered, and children were also questioned if they were the boss of Melton for a day. It was incredible what they actually responded. They were wanting more adventure parks, pools, slides, flowers, space to run. I can see our rates going up with that. And for the community, if anyone is interested in what we actually provide for our young ones, there is actually a fantastic booklet that is at council. So if you want to get a hold of that. And that's it.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Councillor Turner.
Yes, Madam Mayor, on 21st August I attended the CULDAC, Culturally and Linguistically Diverse Communities Advisory Committee, and it was actually the first night of the new committee. It was a really good feeling night. The committee meets once a quarter, and I think we've got about 13 new members on the committee, and went through the terms of reference and what was expected and what they expected, and what council and they expected from each other. So it was a really good night, and I'm personally quite positive we'll get some good results out of that committee. It was a really good night. Going back last month, on the 26th of July, I attended the Keep Australia Beautiful Awards along with Councillor Ramsey, and we had a very successful night. The Melton Botanic Gardens, John Bentley, stood up and received an award, and then Melton Environmental Group, Dan Akers, he received an award for his group. But one of the big awards of the night was the Dame Phyllis Frost Award, and that was received by one of our own council officers, Linda Bradburn, who does a fantastic job in that area, and she was well commended on the night. Thank you.
Fantastic. Councillors, I've attended quite a few, so I've just highlighted the major or the ones with special highlights. I did attend and chair the first Community Safety Committee. As councillors are aware, that this is a restructured committee from the previous PCCC. Its main aim is to coordinate a whole of community partnership response to priority community safety issues. The committee identified some key safety and crime prevention priorities within the city, with a particular focus on promoting perceptions of safety and reducing the incidence and effect of crime and violence within the community. Keen to get tangible outcomes from this committee, we established three main priorities and a 12-month work plan, which included the Community Safety Month in October, perceptions of safety in the community and addressing family violence within the community. And may I just highlight that Melton City Council is one of the first councils that are training its staff through a program that focuses on the prevention of violence against women within the community, so highly to be commended. I also attended the Melton City Council Community Funding Program grants presentation along with most of my fellow councillors. A total of 26 local groups and organisations shared in excess of $117,000 from council. This year's successful community groups represented a diverse cross-section of our community, including sports clubs, special interest groups, cultural groups, support networks, environmental groups and more. And just a big congratulations to all who were successful in receiving a grant. At the Melton Suburb Naming Committee, I attended this committee meeting with fellow councillors Ramsey and Councillor Dunn. It was a very interesting and historical moment as members of the committee put forward potential names for suburbs within the community and the history behind all those names. For me, it was an absolute privilege that I could be a part of such a historical moment. I thank the community members of the committee for their wealth of information in providing potential names for our future suburbs within our municipality. Myself and Councillor Dunn attended and were part of the deliberations of the West Water Community Grants Committee, and it was great to see the diversity around the applications and the great initiatives and projects that many of the applicants had that will benefit the community. Mayor Altair from Hobsons Bay was the host for the Western Region Mayor's Forum, and discussions included regional support for Hobsons Bay City Council regarding major hazard facilities, the Yes campaign for local government's financial recognition in the Australian referendum, and the East West Link project. I also attended the Hospital Advisory Committee with Councillor Turner and Councillor Ramsey, where we discussed the hospital petition. Currently we have 7,220 signatures, and thanking community members John Southall and Lynn Holdsworth for their exceptional work that they are doing to get these signatures on the petition. Members, if you haven't signed that petition, I highly recommend that you do. I also made a strong point that we need a strategic document to support the need for a general hospital, for without this strategic document, it seems highly unlikely that we will convince the state and federal government on the need for the hospital in the municipality. Currently, council is applying for a grant to assist in the funding of the strategic document. I also attended the Lydia Lasilla Youth Sports Achievement Application Assessment Committee, and council can be proud that it received many applications from our youth sector who are currently competing in different areas of sport, all of them very worthy of the scholarship. I want to thank the applicants for their time, and I wish them all the very best of luck in the future with their sport. The winner will be announced on the 16th of September from 6:30 p.m. at the Melton City Council Sports Award held here in the Community Hall. I also attended the Disability Advisory Committee discussion around the upcoming Carer Expo. This expo has received lots of attendance in the past from our residents and service providers. Most of the discussions were around the Disability Action Plan, and over 350 people were consulted in line of this plan, and it will now be going out for public comment. Six strong themes that have come out of these consultations, including quality of services, getting information, getting involved and active, valued work, employment and education, built environment and access, and limited transport options. I'd like to thank Coral and her team for a fantastic job in delivering the draft of a well-consultant disability action plan. I also attended several CEO review panel meetings with panel members Councillor Ramsey and Councillor Turner. I can confirm that the committee has finalised its CEO annual review for the 2012-13, and that the recommendations to council were included in last month's ordinary meeting of council under confidential business. They were unanimously accepted, therefore I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Mr. Tory, our CEO, on behalf of myself and myself as the Mayor and my fellow councillors for this for his exceptional work over the past 12 months. Council is extremely satisfied with the great contributions Mr. Tory is making for this council as a leader of this organisation and for the delivery of much needed services and infrastructure for our community. Councillors, I want to also make mention of something that came out of last month's policy review panel meeting minutes that were adopted at last council's meeting. It was from an initiative of mine that I am excited to launch today. It is the Merrill Charity Fund. I have decided that I will not be conducting the usual Merrill Ball this year, as in my opinion, it was consuming too much of council's staff resources. Instead, I have decided that I will be donating these funds, together with councillors, to local community groups that can put the grant money to better use. I will also be asking local businesses to get behind the Merrill Charity Fund and make a donation to support those community groups that make a difference to many of our residents. Also, something that has never been done since the inception of the Merrill Ball, I will be asking my fellow councillors which community groups they would like to see some of the Merrill Charity Funds go towards. I will also be asking local residents to make recommendations to which local community groups these funds may go towards. Many of our local community groups are doing it tough, and this is just another way that myself as Mayor, together with councillors, can help in some way to assist with the ongoing costs of running a local community group. I also attended two ministerial mayors panel meetings. At the first meeting, I was asked to give a presentation to the Minister for Local Government, Jeanette Powell, her advisers and several mayors, and the new Deputy Secretary of Department of Planning, Transport and Local Infrastructure, otherwise known as DTPLI. Mr. Terry Garwood I presented on the challenges of interface councils. I highlighted the many challenges and shortfalls that interface councils have with providing infrastructure and important services for its residents in comparison to metropolitan councils. It was a great opportunity to advocate for the issues that surround interface councils and their growth, including Melton. At the second meeting, we were introduced to the new Executive Director of Local Government Victoria, Mr. Nick Foa. We had a presentation on the consultation draft on Melbourne's water future by the Office of Living Victoria. We also discussed the upcoming consultation regarding local government elections and how they might be improved. The department will be seeking both council and community feedback in relation to this matter. It will be of great interest to this council, I am sure, as this matter was raised by fellow Deputy Mayor Councillor Turner a while ago for council officers to write a report on whether the local government elections can be improved. This is a chance to actually put those recommendations forward. Also, at the Conduct and Governance Reference Group, we had an overview of the consultation feedback regarding the Code of Conduct review from councils around Victoria and members of the public. The feedback this committee has been receiving is how to stop or decrease perceived breaches of the Code of Conduct from being used as a political tool for some councillors that may use it for frivolous matters. Discussion whether mandatory professional development or mandatory training should be a must for all elected councillors. Also, the issue around confidentiality and whether the current system is working or if there are some things that may need improving. Thank you for your attention, councillors. Councillor Ramsay.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. As I've just come back from St Vincent's Hospital, I've left all my notes at home. I have to report to about 40-odd meetings, so I'm not going to. From PDAC, Road Safety, Policy Review, WAVES, Western Melbourne Tourism, Lead West, the CEO Review and the Suburban Naming Committee. But can I just elaborate on one or two that I've attended in the last couple of weeks, but they're important. The presence of police has brought this first and foremost to my attention. The Safe Plate day that was held at Woodgrove is something that's very important and dear to my heart. It's a community partnership with the police, the Lions Club of Melton, Woodgrove and QIC, the radio station and Road Safe Westgate. What it does is it's there, it's a free service, and people can go in there and get their child seats restraints put in And I mean, you would be surprised at how many people put their child restraints in, and you think you're doing the right thing, leaving the hospital or leaving, having a toddler in one of these seats and they're not fitted correctly. In an accident, that could be life-threatening. And what this partnership does is it allows free of charge to go down there and have some experts put it in for you properly. Another danger that we all face in our local community is getting our number plates taken off our cars and being used for other things. What this service does again is people just drive in. It takes about 2 minutes for them to take your number plates off, match them to whatever screws that they need for the relevant cars, and you drive away. And that enables you peace of mind or some certainty that your plates are safe. It also gives out paperwork and discussions around safety around schools and road safety awareness in general, and also our council's officers are there to talk about walking school bus and other projects that we are doing as a council. So can I commend both the police, council and all the community groups that partner in this worthwhile cause. With this new agenda, Madam Mayor, please pull me up because I've come in late. The Vietnam Vets Day, will that be under 13.1?
Yes, it will be.
Okay, I'll sit down now.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Councillor Borg.
No, Madam
Mayor. Okay, the next agenda item is 13, Councillor Representation and Acknowledgements. 13.1, public address by each councillor. This is actually a new agenda item. We've adopted it from our last meeting procedure local laws, and it gives the councillors a chance to speak very briefly, Councillor Ramsey, about
point of order, Madam Mayor.
About anything that they've an event that they've attended, or just some public acknowledgements or a public address by each councillor. So I'll start off with Councillor Dunn.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This time I'm prepared. Councillor Ramsey has already beat me to the punch. I attended the Vietnam Veterans Commemorative Day along with quite a few other councillors and found it was a very moving day. I also attended the Blue Chip Farms Breeders' Crown at Tabor Corp, which was quite a great event. I also attended the first Caroline Springs Scouts along with yourself, Madam Mayor, and I found that was really great because it was such a community-minded and family-minded group that very proud that they're the first Caroline Springs Scouts groups to actually out into the front, and hopefully they will keep increasing and growing as they have been. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Councillor Cugliari.
Sorry, Madam Mayor, I'm actually not prepared for this one here,
no,
but I will be next time.
Thank you. Councillor Turner.
I already jumped the gun on this one.
And please, councillors, don't feel obliged that you have to. As per usual, I do have lots to say. Councillors, I'd like to make a special mention on an event that I attended quite recently. It was the 75th birthday of the Melton Day Country Women's Association. This association has been a long history in assisting Melton's community and its residents. This wonderful group of women has offered support, friendship and kindness to hundreds, if not thousands, of local residents. And I was just so touched with their latest program where members are knitting delightful teddy bears for every newborn baby in the city of Melton. And at 42 babies being born every week, this means a huge number of teddies being knitted. In fact, around 2,100 every year. I'm not sure if they realise the amount of babies that are being born when they put up their hand for the project. I was very touched and inspired by the group's initiative, and I did also make a personal donation towards this project. This is one of many personal donations I have made to local community groups since being re-elected as councillor in 2012, as this was one of my election promises. Council's Maternal and Child Health Services are distributing the teddies on behalf of CWA, and the feedback has been absolutely fantastic. I'd like to thank the Country Women's Association and their president, Sylvia Lyons, which is doing a marvellous job in providing such a great service for our community. Well done to the CWRA. Councillor Ramsey.
Madam Mayor, yes, there's just two items I'd like to make mention of, and I don't think most of the other councillors wanted to steal my thunder with the Vietnam vets, but can I just... It's so heartening to see the community turn out time and time again, and schools like Coburn Primary lead by example. Councillor Borg as a teacher, when they can come out on a day and remember those that have fallen to give us the freedoms we deserve today, it is a really special occasion, and we remember the dead, lest we forget, but their saying is they fight like hell for the living, and that's what we all strive to do on a day-to-day basis. Thank you. Oh, and the other beautiful thing I attended, I had the pleasure of being the receiving councillor for the Dead Ball for the Melton Specialist School. And if you could see the 13 partners come down those stairs with the cheesiest grins and the most beautiful ability to dance and have the freedom that, you know, whether you do a step wrong, you just smile your way through it. And if nothing else grounds you ever in life, it's to take the joys of those little things and be able to achieve anything, because the world's their oyster and they knew it on the night. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Councillor Borg.
Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you. Item 13.2, record of assembly of councillors attached to this agenda in accordance with Section 80A1 of the Local Government Act 1989, and the recommendation is that the record of assembly of councillors attached in this agenda dated 2nd of July, 9th of July and 16th of July 2013 be received and noted. Do I have a councillor to move the motion?
I'll move that the recommendation of assemblies of councillors attached to the agenda dated 2nd July, 9th of July, 16th of July, be received and noted.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a councillor who seconds the motion?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have a councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. All those against, I declare the motion carried. Moving along to item 14, notices of motion.
No, Madam Mayor.
Moving on to items 15, councillors' questions without notice. Moving on to item 16, motions without notice. I'd like to just move that I have a motion without notice that Council 1 write to the Minister for the Australian Government Department of Broadband, Communications and the Digital Economy, the Honourable Anthony Albanese MP, to advocate for the extension and prioritisation of the national broadband network to areas within the Melton City Municipality currently suffering from substandard wide internet connection speed. Number two, request that special attention be given to key areas within the municipality such as Burnside and Caroline Springs in which existing internet infrastructure is inadequate. Three, advocate for the establishment of minimum acceptable wired broadband speed to the premises, upload and download from internet service providers. And four, propose the establishment of a wireless connected subsidy or wireless cost reduction scheme for communities affected by substandard wide internet access. Thank you, councillors. Do I have any other councillor that has a motion without notice? I'll move on to item number 17, urgent business.
Yes, Madam Mayor.
Items 18, confidential business. Do I have a councillor to move the procedural motion? Councillor Turner.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the procedural motion that pursuant to Section 89(2) of the Local Government Act 1989, the meeting be closed to the public to consider the following reports and considered confidential for reasons indicated.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have a councillor who seconds the motion?
I'd like to second that, Madam Mayor.
Do I have a councillor who opposes? All those in favour of the motion, please raise your hand. All those against, I declare the motion carried. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your attendance and for joining us this evening. Please feel free to have some refreshments at the back, and we hope to see you again next month. Thank you very much.